might come from Mars, fancy speeches from those leaders of ours, through the teachings of men who still lie. But all I know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified for me. How He loved the people of this world, died to set them free.
And we're back with Hour 2 of Remnant Radio Live on the ninth month, sixth day of 2005. And we have with us Stan and Elizabeth Madrak of DemonBuster.com. That's DemonBuster.com, free deliverance courses there. And anything that's being discussed today, I urge you to go to their website and look into this. And pretty much it gives you everything you ever wanted to know and all the tools necessary to make this thing a reality in your life. And Stan, have you ever heard of Dr. Rebecca Brown?
Yes.
What
I
do you
recommend that you burn all her books and material?
I had a question by one of our listeners about her, and he wanted your opinion about Dr. Rebecca Brown. So I guess we just got it.
Yes.
Okay. Is Elizabeth still there, or did she?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I just I didn't know if you had already gone off or you're still with us. I was just asking. Well, Elizabeth, your testimony about Jesus Christ being the only name, I certainly agree with. I've never. To me, there's no power in the name of Yahshua. I have experimented with that name, to be honest with you, and there's just no life. There's no power. There's no spirit of life there. With Jesus Christ, there's power. You can feel it when you speak the name. There is power in that name, and demons tremble at that name. And I'll tell you, they just don't tremble at the name of Yahshua. So that's. I hope that cleared that up for our listener there. Yes, I appreciate that testimony, Elizabeth.
And I'm glad to hear that you tried using that other name there. Now I won't have to do it.
Well, I didn't try it for very long because, you know, I mean, I just didn't spend a whole lot of time fooling around with it. But you're right. There's a movement underfoot, I think, to subvert the name of Jesus. I really do. I think you're right on with that one. And nevertheless, I had to at least look into it for myself. So I'm satisfied personally that, you know, that Jesus is the name.
Amen. Here's a new subject. This is going to get some people upset a little bit. We tell people not to go to any church or any ministry where the leader, the pastor, whatever, is not doing deliverance, not teaching it.
Yes.
And especially that he is not doing personal deliverance, doing self-deliverance.
Yes.
And the reason is, if you go to a church that does not believe Christians can have demons, I don't care how big the church population is there, you're in the midst of a handful or hundreds or thousands of people who all have many, many demons. And when you leave, you can leave that church with more demons than you walked in that church with. So we just tell them, you know, if you cannot find a church that does deliverance, and there are not many, then you just stay home. There are no requirements in the Bible for going to a church building.
None. Yeah, none at all.
The pastors, they sure use that scripture about, you know, gathering. Don't forsake the gathering.
Yes.
Well, we're doing that over the telephone.
We are right now. Yes.
That scripture right now over the telephone.
That's why we call this Remnant Radio Church. On our website, we say this is where the underground church meets. Yeah, well, because we're underground, because the way that we're talking right now is not an accepted. It's not accepted Christianity amongst the masses, and folks like us generally undergo a certain amount of persecution from what should be our brothers.
That's right.
Right. Once you start learning about deliverance, and hopefully you're going to stay in it. Matter of fact, if you do get started in deliverance and you do not stay with it on a daily basis, the demons are now we say demons because the devil is in control of the demons. The devil doesn't do most everything; he has his demons do it. The demons will get back at you for what you've done to them in however long it was that you were doing deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sad but true, I've heard that more people get out of deliverance than get in deliverance. And the main reason is because the demons use fear as the number one weapon to keep people from continuing. And we've already talked about fear. It's a demon.
Yes.
You get rid of that fear, and you just go on with deliverance forever and ever until the day you die.
You know, we had our guest last night that we had on. He also does deliverance ministry. His name is Odin Fong, and I didn't even know that until we got talking on the radio. But you know, he said the very same thing. He said that fear is the number one plague out there. It's fear.
That's right.
And of course the scripture. We know that scripture, perfect love casteth out all fear. Well, why did it say fear? Why didn't perfect love cast out hate? Well, because the opposite of love is fear. That's why.
That's right.
Fear is our biggest problem. It really is. I mean, yeah. I agree. It's afraid. Are you afraid to do this?
A lot of people are. Christians and even pastors, we get email from pastors who are hooked on the internet on porn.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, it's a demon's a demon. Don't matter what it
Boy,
is.
Boy, I'll tell you.
What your hang up is, you cast it out in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
If it's, you might be able to go a week or two and then you're back on it again. Well, you got that cabbage effect. You just do it again. Now, when we say do daily deliverance, we don't mean that you have to, you don't cast the same demon out every day.
Mm-hmm.
If the demon's gone, well, you don't have to cast him out anymore.
Yeah.
But daily deliverance is, like I said, every phone call, I do deliverance. That's
yes.
Part of daily deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into a grocery store, you bind up all the demons in the place so they don't attack you while you're in there.
Mm-hmm.
When you leave the grocery store, you say your deliverance prayer just in case. That's part of your daily deliverance. There's times when you just get an attack. Let me just share this about curses, which is the subject I wanted to talk on. Curses.
Oh, boy.
Okay, yeah. We get so many emails from people chewing us out because of our website,
yeah.
And they give us a scripture, bless those that curse you.
Yeah.
Well, see?
Yes.
And we have a lengthy article on curses,
mm-hmm.
And that scripture does not mean what people think it means. Curses, that scripture, curses is foul language.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, and Peter was there in the where he was around the fire, they was kind of watching what was going on.
Yes.
And it said that Peter cursed when they accused him the third time.
Right. Yes.
He cursed.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He used foul language.
Yeah, it's foul language. It's right. it's an angry spirit.
Right. So curses today is what a witch will send your way,
mm-hmm.
a voodoo person will send your way,
yeah.
a Satanist will send your way, and anybody with the knowledge of any kind of evil,
yes.
send curses. Mm-hmm. Witches will send stuff your way. And so you got to break and return curses. And this is another area we get a lot of hate email.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus wouldn't return things. All right, if you don't return it, you get it.
Yep.
Curses do not bounce off.
Yep.
And that's just the way it is. That's fact. That's just the way it is, and so on a regular basis, daily, many times during the day, sometimes you break and return all curses that's been
yes.
sent your way. Now, before we learned about returning curses, I used to get this every Monday night about 8 o'clock. I started to get a fever blister. Okay, now fever blister, the doctors say, is something that's...
They call it herpes.
Herpes is in your body. You'll have it till the day you die. There's some vitamins and stuff that you take to prevent it. But anyhow, every Monday at 8 o'clock, this thing would pop up. All right? So I said, aha, I bet there's some witches out there sending something our way.
Yes.
My way in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 8 o'clock when they was having their meetings. So I started breaking and returning it. And if you've ever had a fever blister, when it first starts to pop up, your mouth or your lip is starts to become a little sore, a little tingly. All right? Well, every time I start to get that thing, and it, again, it was always a Monday night about 8 o'clock.
Huh.
I tell Elizabeth, I say, all right, here's that thing popping up. And both of us would pray, do warfare, break and return that thing, and that thing would disappear and stop immediately.
There you go.
Now, that's how you know it was a curse or a witchcraft, because it leaves immediately. Now, if you get a pain in your shoulder or someplace, and you pray and you break and return and you still got it, well, maybe you was carrying too many books that day.
Uh-huh.
See, everything's not demons,
right,
but most things are.
Well, can
I break and return.
Can I add to this, Stan, a little bit? What we're talking about here is the darkness hates the light. And when we as Christians become what we're supposed to be, and that is light to this world, and that light shines out to discover the darkness, that light shines out to uncover the dirty work of the darkness, they don't like it much. And they go into active warfare against those who bear the light. Those lights will be fought against. If you are not having active spiritual warfare, then you probably are not doing too much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you get active into becoming a Christian as you're supposed to be and become a light of the world, you will encounter these forces of darkness that will try to hex you and curse you and put you down. And this is what we're talking about. It is necessary when these things happen to know how to deal with them. And God gives us the tools and means necessary, but it's like Stan says, we have to be capable servants. We have to know what to do, and that's all part of it. And so, if you're not active as you're supposed to be as a Christian, then you probably don't have a whole lot of warfare come against you. These things that we're talking about may even be a mystery, what we're even talking about, because you've never experienced it. But if you ever really get in the fight for the souls of men particularly, then you're going to have these things happen. There's just no doubt about it. Everyone does that gets in the fight. Is that a good take on that, Stan?
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yes.
I look at it like, okay, you got the regular Christian that goes to church, you know, Sunday, Wednesday, whatever day. They might even go several times a week.
Yes.
And that's all they do. Mm-hmm. Okay, then you got some people that, I won't say they're better, but maybe they're more involved in it, and they're doing a lot more praying and reading the Bible and things like that. And then you got the front line. You got a war going on between good and evil.
Yes.
Okay. When you get involved in deliverance, you are parachuted, if you want to call it like that, behind enemy lines. You are in their camp. And the more warfare you do, the more deliverance you do, the less they attack you. Now, that's just the way it is. Now, and here's something. Those of you that are listening and are going to get involved in deliverance, here's something to tell you. The demons tell the same lies to everybody in one area. That's why they're so stupid. All right, and here's what they do. And I tell this to all people that's just learning about deliverance. The demons will do everything that they can to stop you when you first learn. That's what they do. So you just know that now, that if you go to our website or get you a book or whatever, well, I recommend not buying any books when you can get our website totally free.
Well, sure.
Free is free.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the demons are going to do everything they can. Your family's going to come against you, your friends, your workers. Things that you're going to say, what is going on here? It's because you're learning about deliverance. All I'm telling you is to hang in there. You do deliverance. You do spiritual warfare. You break and return curses. And things will get better. Don't listen to the demons when they're lying to you. When they get in your mind and give you thoughts that if you don't stop this, I'm going to do this or this is going to happen, just you immediately take action. And that's also an important thing. When you get attacked, you get thoughts you don't want or shouldn't have, you must take immediate action. You take it like daydreaming. Okay, you're sitting there and a thought goes through your mind and you know you're dreaming about whatever, daydreaming. Well, you don't want that to go on when the demons are talking to you. And they're not talking verbally, they're talking in your head. As soon as you hear them, immediately command them things to leave in the name of Jesus. And one weapon, there's many weapons that are that work. Now here's a weapon that this works, and you just try this tonight. You just try it. It might even happen as you're listening to this program and thinking this guy's nuts. Well, that's a demon telling you that. So here's what you say: any thought that enters your mind that you don't want, I don't care what it is, if you don't want it, and especially if it's evil, here's what you say. In the name of Jesus, I circumcise these thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, that thought will go immediately because it's dropped off by what is called a thought demon. They drop a thought off and zoom, they're out of here. Now, sometimes, depending on what it is, you may have to say that a couple of times. And that comes from a scripture in the Bible that says, it talks about circumcising the heart. Well, you can't circumcise your heart. It's a spiritual thing. So you can circumcise your heart. You can circumcise your thoughts. And it works. I'm telling you, it's a weapon the devil does not want you to know about, and it works. And I might add here, again, if you are not a real Christian, a real believer, Jesus calls us true worshipers. If you're not real, none of this will work for you because you will not have the power that is in the name of Jesus. You've got to be right. How do you get right? You immediately, right now, you can say, Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. You say that, you're saved. All your sins are forgotten. God says, I don't remember them sins. Any sin you commit after this very instant is new. Then you ask the Lord to forgive you every time you slip up. Certain things that you cannot control, you keep on doing it over and over. Demons involved. Cast the demon out. Cast the symptom out. Mm-hmm. The more you do that, the demon's gone. You'll no longer have that problem. And you did not get all your problems overnight, so you will not get rid of all your demons overnight. That's just the way it is. So that's why you do daily deliverance. Work on a little bit every day as you have time. You can play our audio files and get deliverance just listening to the audio files. They're live deliverance sessions where we've cast demons out of people, out of Christians, spirit-filled Christians. And so that's what you need to do.
Our listener who asked about Dr. Brown,
yes,
said he really appreciated you talking about that, he threw out her books about 6 months ago. He said it left him with a spirit of fear and hopelessness.
We have heard that over and over. I did have an article up on, well, she's not a doctor, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Her doctor thing was removed many years ago. I really don't want to get into that subject, but we get many emails and phone calls from people who had that book, and all kinds of weird things started happening to them, demonic attacks, after getting the book or confronting her, or not confronting her, but being in her presence. And on my website, I offered for her to tell the public that she was, in fact, still a witch when she wrote the first book. Mm-hmm. If she said that I would put that on our website.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard from them, but
isn't that something?
The last I heard, they're still involved in the satanic realm.
Wow. I don't know anything about this person, so it's the first time I've heard her name, actually. I have a question for you. It's one that someone's asking, and it's actually in relation to what I have said earlier on another program. I made mention, I think, one or twice on our live programs about the relationship between cats, you know, house cats, and demons. And the statement I made was this, and I stand by it, is cats see these things.
Absolutely.
And they are detectors. And we have learned over the years, over many years, that having a cat in the room is a good thing. Sometimes when these demonic attacks, if they come at nighttime when you're asleep, the cats will get restless, and they'll start running, and they'll wake and they'll wake a person up, and then you can deal with the thing, and so that they don't they don't torment you in your sleep, and or sometimes they'll come after you. I've actually had demons come after me to kill me.
They can do that.
And it's been a lot of years, and this has happened. When I've taken on the areas for Jesus Christ, in other words, the souls of men, it's usually over the fight of souls of men, and I've recognized over the years that there are princes, there are commands, as you might want to call it, of these things. And they're over. See, in other words, they're over physical, geographical areas. There's like an entity that's over that, and he's got his command under him. And I've actually come up with against some of these higher and command ones that were very upset with me coming in there and after the souls of men that they had control over. And like I said, I've had attacks where they came to kill me, and so cats recognize these things, and they give you a forewarning. So that's kind of my a statement I made, and so I have a listener that's asking about this to see what you had to say about it.
Well, that is true. You know, animals, dogs too, and I do believe though that you're going to know the demon is there before the cat does, because that demon is going to do what he can to stir you up or hold you down or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start doing more deliverance, more spiritual warfare,
mm-hmm.
you will know when the demon's there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now remember I said everybody gets attacked. The demons
mm-hmm.
will try to penetrate your home while they can. I've heard people say, no, the demons can't get into your home if you're a Christian. Well, that's not true. Every so often, Elizabeth will say, I just saw something. Now, we're in the house. She'll say, I just saw something. Okay, well, remember, you take immediate action. And all we do is we just start commanding, all right, Father, in Jesus' name, I command this demon that has come into our home to leave now in the name of Jesus. And it's gone. And see, so a demon will just pop in there. They just want to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you ain't been doing your daily warfare, your daily deliverance, mm-hmm. and that demon comes in, what's he in there for? He's wanting to see what you're up to. He's spying on you.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, there's spy demons.
Well, and I think this is what I'm talking about with the cats, because this is why they get restless, and we
yeah.
see them get restless in the middle of the night, and we know that there's one of those spies in there.
That's correct.
That's exactly
and,
right.
Now, remember, demons prefer a human body, but they'll take an animal. And so if you do have an animal, every once in a while, there's nothing wrong with you casting the demons out of your animal. Oh, that's stupid. Well, the dog can't cast it out of itself. You know, you got to be saved in order to do it. We had a dog that barked a lot one time. Well, guess what? We cast out the barking demon. We know that dog no longer had a barking problem. You know, I mean, every dog barks, but
yeah.
there's barking problems,
right,
too.
Right.
Well, guess what? It was caused by a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, just if nothing else, just to help your animal. If you're involved in deliverance in any way, the demons will want to interfere with everything in your life.
Yes.
They want to harm your animals. They want to kill your animals. They want to harm your family. And you know, all you can do is pray that the Lord will protect them, but your own animals, you can, you know, pray over and cast the demons out periodically.
Yes.
And, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, it's not in the Bible. I like the one where, when the people say, well, if it ain't in the Bible, I ain't going to believe it.
I know.
Yeah. Well, here's what I say. I say, well, and this is usually through email, and I say, well, you must spend a lot of money housing your donkey. It must cost a lot of money to feed your donkey. And, you know, what do you do with your donkey when you take him to work? Because Jesus rode on, what, a colt, a donkey.
Yeah.
And if he's our example, and if you're only going to go by the Bible, you ought not to be driving that automobile. You should be driving a donkey.
Yeah.
Or I bet you spend a lot of money at the dentist because the Bible doesn't say you should brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Well, there's some things you have to use common sense.
Yeah.
You know, I've had people say that, well, we ought not to be taking any herbs or spices because the New Age people do that. The witches use that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where you got to use common sense again. Are you going to stop driving a car because Satanists drive cars?
Yeah.
No. But now, you're not going to buy your herbs in a place that you know is a New Age store or is operated by witches. So that you just be careful where you buy your vitamins or your whatever it is that you're taking.
Boy, I found that to be the case. We make our own soaps. You know, we do a lot of natural, you know, remedies and things. And
great.
And I'll tell you what, the suppliers of this stuff, 90% of the suppliers out there are witches. And you have to be, really, and we check people out before we even buy from them to see who they are. Because if you buy items from those places that are Wiccans or into witchcraft, those things can have curses and hexes on them when you buy them. You're admitting those things into your home. Those people pray their spells over those items before they send them to you.
Right.
And they even say so.
Objects that you may have in your home.
Yes.
You know, especially if you have things from foreign countries.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the old Buddha statue. Now, first of all, it ought not to be in your home because Buddha is a god, and that violates one of the Ten Commandments. But if you just think, well, that's just a nice statue. Well, on real Buddha statues, there's on the back of them, there's a plug. And from what I've been told is when they make these, now, there's statues that are, you know, mass-produced, and there's other ones that are demonically influenced, we'll say. Well, in the plug, when they make these statues, they pray, they put demons in there is what they do, into the plug, and they seal it up, and it's sealed with the demon. And you bring this thing into your home, even though it's not supposed to be there, and you got all kinds of problems. Unicorns. You got a unicorn in your home, a statue or a towel or macrame or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Anything with the unicorn on. We know that this causes some people with sexual problems.
Yes.
And finance problems.
Here's a big one that's popular today: dream catchers.
Oh, terrible! We've got that mentioned on our website. Sometimes we get hate mail, or not necessarily hate mail, but someone voicing their opinion, usually from American Indians, and they're saying, "Well, you know, that's our heritage, and dream catcher ain't nothing." Well, guess what? It's got demons attached to it. And I have never, ever heard from an American Indian who was doing deliverance. And if he was or she was, I'm sure they'd be getting rid of their dream catcher.
That's right. I'm going to hit a big one. I'm going to hit a great big one.
I like big ones.
That's a problem with a lot of people. And this is one of the biggest problems of Christian failure. I mean, one of the biggest causes of Christian failure, I should say. Christians that have this problem in their life, always they struggle their whole life with leading a victorious life before Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what that problem is: smoking.
Smoking.
And over 33 years, all of the Christians that remain smokers They struggle with leading a victorious Christian life all much more than anybody else. They struggle and they struggle and they struggle. This is a demonic stronghold. There is no doubt in my mind that with most of these cases, because these are Christians that want to do the will of God, they love God, but this thing has a hold on their life and they can't get rid of it. What prompted me to ask this question is we have one of our listeners that wrote in. It says this is his problem, and he says it's one of those love-hate relationships. You know, he loves to smoke, but he hates it because you know what it does. So and that's the problem with demonic possessions is some people love what that demon does for them.
That's right.
They're in love with it in a certain manner, and that's why these things are sometimes hard to shake, because they don't really want to get rid of it.
There's a key right there. Many people do not want to get rid of it, mm-hmm. whatever the problem is, smoking or otherwise.
Yeah.
And if they do not want to get rid of it, you cannot help them. We had a man come to us one time years ago he wanted deliverance, but he did not want us to cast out any smoking demons. And I showed him the door. I said, look, Jesus either wants to clean you up all the way or nothing. And he left mad. But smoking, we have an article, just a short article, I believe, on smoking. There are many demons involved in smoking. Now, here's the thing about smoking or anything else. And as Elizabeth told you earlier, anything that controls you is a demon. Now, if a person and many people have been able to go cold turkey and stop smoking and never pick up a cigarette again, that means there were no demons involved in that. All right? But those of you who want to stop smoking, and maybe you've tried all kinds of programs and you keep going back, it's a demon there, many demons, that's keeping you from doing this. Now, here's where the smoking thing started. Where did tobacco come from? Way back when probably the pilgrims met the Indians, they had their little meeting, they passed the peace pipe around. What happens when they smoke the peace pipe? They blow the smoke where? To their gods. Not our god, to their gods.
Well, that's interesting.
The white man picked up the smoking habit, they picked up all those gods in the smoke. It's only in however many years down the road when man started putting in, you know, the additives and stuff like this that further addict people. So if you're wanting to smoke, you need to cast out many different kinds of smoking demons. On our website there, we have a list of demons just for starters. And like I said, you do it daily. It might be like that cabbage effect where you know, today you're only smoking one pack, and then tomorrow you're down to a half a pack, and the next day you got a couple, and then after a while you're not smoking at all. Others, you might be able to get rid of that demon right away, and it's gone, and you will not have no desire. But see, you've got to get rid of the demon, or the desire will come back. Or what happens a lot of times is when people learn about deliverance, let's use smoking. They cast out the smoking demons, the white smoke, and the peace pipe and things like that that's listed on our website. And they say, wow, I ain't smoked in 3 months. And then they get a whiff of smoke and they start smoking. Well, what happens with a lot of demons is they try to fool you. They hide is what they do. They're still in you, but they just kind of lay low for a while. And that's just something that they do. So now there's other times when you do in fact get rid of the demons, but remember they're going to try to come back.
Yeah, they hide for a while.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And smoking is a tough one. A lot of demons involved in that.
It's a real tough one. It's one that I found personally one of the hardest deliverances is that one there. It's, people just have a hard time.
And the church does not help. I know denominations that have smoke breaks for their deacons.
Oh, hey, listen. We went to a Baptist church one time in Indiana. The whole church smoked, including the pastor.
I was going to say Baptist, but I didn't want to
say. And well, I mean, the denomination really doesn't matter. But
that's right.
But their services were only 40 minutes long. I'm talking about the Sunday morning service, 40 minutes. And then they all had to run out. They all ran out real quick. Every one of them cleared out of the church and lit up. including the pastor. And then they'd go back in and continue the service. I'd never seen nothing like that in my whole life. I says, my God, what is going on here? This is just the most incredible thing I ever seen.
Yeah. Talking about Baptists, but not only Baptists, but
yeah.
For some reason it seems to be more prevalent from, maybe because we're down here in the South and there seems to be more Baptists than others, is many, many Baptists and other people are Masons.
Oh, really?
Masons is very bad.
Well, look at Billy Graham.
Absolutely.
He's a Mason.
Yes.
And a Baptist.
Right. And see, the G on their ring and their emblems
uh-huh.
is for Lucifer.
Yes.
Not God, but for Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's many books out there. The one that I ran across to get some of this information was from a person who was a 33-degree Mason.
Mm-hmm.
You don't... See, everything is secret from stage to stage. The 33 steps, so there's you know, each step is a secret. You're not permitted to tell anybody what goes on.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, that's
and
right.
You don't learn until the 33rd degree that it's Lucifer.
Well, I'm not even sure. I think it might even be higher than that. That 33rd degree isn't the high up.
Oh, I thought it was.
No. See, that's what we're told. But there's other... they're still in the lower echelon of Masonry. There's orders. See, there's different orders. If you look into it, there's several different pathways in Masonry. And those who take, you know, Scottish Rite versus this versus that. And the upper echelons come in a different way.
Oh.
I've been told that, yeah, that finally at 33rd degree they figure out. I'm not saying for sure that it is or it isn't, but I don't believe, I even believe at the 33rd degree or they don't really know what's going on either.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. I don't know that for a fact. So I can't say you're wrong. I just don't. I think they're still kind of ignorant.
Yeah, we tell people who contact us about that,
yeah.
You know, usually it's that their father was a Mason, died, and they got all their, you know, their apron and all that stuff. And we tell them to burn it. Get rid of anything having to do with the Masons or the women's is called the...
Young men is Demolay.
Eastern Star.
Eastern Star, that's right.
The women's, and there's other branches like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, see, because there's objects in your home. They're ungodly objects. They attract demons. You don't want them in your home.
Well, I'm here to witness and testify because I had a family member that was deep in Masonry. And I'm telling you, that is absolutely a demonic stronghold. Totally demonic. He died here a couple of years back, and they had the Mason funeral and all that. And if someone wants to have an eye-opening experience, go to a Mason's funeral someday. That is so. They take their symbolism from the inward of the temple out to the public during a funeral. So for Christians who are at least enlightened a little bit about Masonry, to see one of these funerals, I think it would be further opening of your eyes. It is something else again. But this particular family member, I testified of Jesus Christ several times, and they have he would have the Mason Bible there on his bedstand, and they would read that Mason Bible, and in all of that, and they claim to be Christians, you know, and when I would preach Jesus to them, they would just amen me all the way.
That's right.
But I knew in my heart they were far from it. That was a demonic stronghold, and I never did break through with this particular relative. Never did. He went to his death a Mason.
Yeah, it's hard to get through to a lot of people, which is why, you know, as I said earlier, we don't try to bend people's arms. You know,
yes.
We tell them what we know; they can believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You should not force it on anybody. But you know, the Bible says that when you tell someone about the things of the Lord and they don't want to listen, the Lord says, "Shake the dust off your feet."
Yes.
Get away from them. Leave them alone. And there's times when you know you need to send the judgment of God to them.
Yes.
There's one scripture where where I think it was Paul, he turned somebody over to the devil.
Yes.
Because of what that person did to them.
Yeah.
And we have done that. We use that on very, very rare occasions.
You turn over.
We know a particular person is trying or is doing harm to us.
Yes.
And we turn them over to the devil.
Yeah.
Let's hit a subject called divorce.
Ooh.
Okay, divorce is a demon.
Oh, yes.
Now, first of all, God hates divorce. Divorce is a sin.
Uh-huh.
There are denominations who will not allow a man to be a deacon or an elder if they've been divorced.
Yes.
Because they say, now you got two wives, especially if you got remarried.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to have to tell you that this is my take on that scripture. All right? It says that if you get divorced and remarry, you're living in adultery.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, here's what happens. Does Jesus forgive all sin or doesn't he? Yes, he does, except for the unpardonable sin. And hardly anybody has ever committed the unpardonable sin. All right? So if you get divorced, mm-hmm. you ask the Lord to forgive you for getting divorced. Now, if you don't, and you remarry, you are living in an adultery according to the scripture because you have not asked the Lord to specifically forgive you for getting divorced. Okay, now that takes care of the scripture, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Now, look at all the Christians who get married and divorced, married and divorced, married and divorced. Well, guess what? The divorce demon is there. So if you have ever been divorced and you want to get on the new road to deliverance,
mm-hmm.
cast out the divorce demon. And it might not affect you. You might be single, but your parents have been divorced. Your grandparents have been divorced. Demons travel through the bloodline. The scientists
yes.
like to say it's through the genes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're right, except we call it demons.
Yes.
And that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you make sure you cast out all the divorce demons, and then if you're married and divorced, next time you get married, you won't be getting divorced.
Uh-huh.
But now you got to watch out because, see, your husband may have been divorced before, or if he's not doing deliverance or she's not doing deliverance, your other spouse,
yes.
then they're liable to cause divorce, and that's out of your hands other than to pray that, you know, the Lord will intervene.
Mm-hmm.
We hear from many married couples who, by one spouse, where they're getting divorced. I have never, ever heard from anybody where they have gotten back together. And it's because it's demon-controlled. So that takes care of divorce.
Yes, it's so many of these areas that plague us, that plague Christians today, you know.
Yes.
So many of these different things.
Yeah, here Elizabeth is going to add something.
Okay.
Also, one of the things that we have had experience with are pastors or ministers that have been serving the Lord, and they lay hands on people and they pray for them.
Yes.
And
uh-huh.
These people have had divorce, and they've had all kind of problems, drugs and addictions and everything. And then all of a sudden these pastors would have the same problems. We teach that if you do, you know, the Bible says don't lay hands on any man suddenly. Well, if you're praying for people and you lay hands on them, then you mm-hmm. have to understand how the demons operate, and that those demons can transfer to you if you don't understand how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
Once someone comes here for deliverance, or we take somebody through some deliverance and teaching them about deliverance, we always, after it's over with, just like with the telephone call or anything, we command any demons that have been transferred to us to leave us in the name of Jesus. So those problems that those people have been having won't transfer to us, and us start having those same problems. And I see this where this has destroyed a lot of ministries because the ministers do not understand how these demons operate, and their ministry and their lives and their families are destroyed because of it.
Well, you hit that one. That's an important point, you know, and this is going to apply to anybody who gets into the battle. You know, as a minister, you know, to do deliverance, you know, you're right about that. It's I've seen so many warriors, so many Christians that enter into the battle and enter into the ministry that fall. I mean, we have a tremendous fatality rate in this in this business we call the ministry. So many, and I think you just hit on one of the big keys right here. So this, you know, very important. Yeah.
Here's another subject. This is going to startle most Christians here.
Mm-hmm.
There are witches in most churches.
Oh, work.
They are an active witch. Now, let me clarify something here first. There's witches and there's witches according to witches. Now, we get a lot of nasty mail from some witches who are Wiccan.
That's not the
Wiccan religion.
Right. Yeah.
Now, most Wiccans will tell you that, you know, they do no harm to anybody.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's their creed, and they only do good to people.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Then there's what is called the black witches, and the black witches are the ones that are actively involved in sending sickness to you and curses to you and demons to you and spells to you and potions and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they do and say. Now, unfortunately, though, the Bible says that a witch is a witch.
Yes.
And even Anton LaVey, the head of the First Satanic Church, said a witch is a witch. But irregardless, there are witches in most churches, and they might even be sitting up on the front row. They say the right things. They're praising Jesus.
Yep.
They're singing all the songs. You do not know that they're a witch. And their assignment, and it could be more than one, and it could be a Satanist there also.
Yep.
They're sent to churches and ministries to stifle the pastor, to keep the church from growing in the things of God, to keep them into deliverance.
Yes.
And when you're sitting there praising the Lord, they're sitting there. One Satanist told me that they don't pray.
Yep.
But I call it praying. They pray to whoever to stop things from going on in the church, which is why so many churches are so dry. And even mega churches with thousands upon thousands of members, they're not doing deliverance. The people are in bad shape, but yet that money's rolling in
for
those leaders there.
Yep.
Now, my recommendation to every pastor that's listening, or future pastors, or anybody in leadership, is if you're having any kind of service in a church, in a building, in your home, on the street, the first thing you should start with every service is to do spiritual warfare. And I'd say, Father, in Jesus' name, I bind up every demon in this place and all these people. I break the power of all witchcraft and any witches or Satanists or anybody else that's in this building. And I ask for giant warrior angels to put a gag in our mouth and to keep them from talking or doing what they're doing in Jesus' name. And I think your churches would turn around. You would see a big change, spiritually speaking, and you might see some men or women get up and leave during that prayer because they don't want to be around that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's spiritual warfare. That's not praying. Big difference.
Yep.
And that'll run a lot of those folks out of there. Now, you might also run some of your regular members out, but that's okay.
That's right. You know, I'll tell you what. You know, I've seen some pretty amazing things in my time, and I remember back about 1974 vintage, going to a church of about 300, and this was a Holy Spirit. I guess it was the beginning of what they called that charismatic movement, and so they had a lot of Holy Spirit ministry type of stuff, and it was real, and it was. Very powerful. Well, one time this pastor brought in this fellow by the name of Lester Sumrall. Are you familiar with him?
Yes, uh-huh.
And Lester began to speak up behind the microphone, and those demons out in the audience started acting up. About six different people started acting up.
Oh, yeah.
And when that happened, when those people started acting up and started, you know, doing their thing, you should have seen that place clear out. These people ran, ran in fear and terror out the door, and there was only a couple dozen people left out of 300.
That's right.
That could even stand to be there to even witness the thing.
Right.
I mean, what is that? You know? And so, you know, if people get driven off, then so be it. I mean, you know, we want people that have a heart and a mind toward God. And you know, and if you really believe in God, you're going to believe that he's powerful and that his enemy is powerful as well. I mean, there's just no other way around it. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean.
Here's another one for any pastors out there.
Yeah.
And you can believe what you believe in all this time, and you've been wrong in certain areas, as all of us has, and you believe what you were taught until you learn the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's how it works. Now, you're learning or will be learning more about deliverance if, let's see, this is whatever day of the week it is here. If Sunday morning you get up to your congregation, no matter how big or small it is, and you say, well, I'm here to tell you that I'm learning about deliverance, and the first thing I want to tell you is that you all got demons, but we're going to start casting them out today, and we're going to start teaching you deliverance, and you're all going to start doing deliverance. Now, and that's a good thing to do. But here's what will happen, and this could be good or bad depending on how much money has been coming through the church. Statistics from other ministries show that when a pastor gets up and says something like that, they will lose 90 to 95% of their congregation, no matter how big or small it is.
Uh-huh.
You might wind up with just a handful of people.
Yes.
But that's the handful that God wants you to be with.
Yes.
To help them and so that they can help others.
Yes.
Now, most pastors, they'll not do something like that because of manna.
Of course. They have to keep the door. See, they get caught in this trap, okay, where, okay, we need to keep the building open in order to minister to people. Well, to keep the building open, we have to have bodies that give. To keep the bodies here, we can't drive them off by this crazy stuff. So they get caught in this big circle trap. It's a
okay.
trap that they get yeah. caught in. It may not necessarily be that all of them are greedy for money, but they get caught into this reasoning process, you know, to justify the ministry. And it doesn't work. It's a trick of the devil. And they need to speak the truth regardless of where even if the place collapses and they go out on the street, there's no building left, he doesn't have a salary anymore and he has to depend on some other means to make to put bread on the table, well, so be it. The truth is the truth. And these people need to start waking up to the fact that you can't justify the ministry by compromising the truth. They can't do it.
That's right. And the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And all the leaders and disciples in the Bible, they all had jobs. You know, mm-hmm. Peter was a fisherman and Paul was a tent maker.
Yeah.
So these pastors that are looking for a salary, and many people get into any ministry because there's money in it.
Yes.
Well, that God didn't call you. You need to, you know, repent and do something about that. Here's another subject. You said, how much time we got left, Paul?
We have just a couple minutes left, unless you want to go for a third hour. I don't know if I want to. I'm kind of maybe we could come back for another night.
Sure, anytime.
So why don't we wrap it up here in a couple minutes, and we'll call it a night. How's that?
Okay. If you're a Protestant, mm-hmm. okay, whether you're Baptist or Methodist or whatever flavor you are, that term denotes that you believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And you follow his teachings.
Mm-hmm.
All right? If you're a Catholic, you are saying, by saying that you are a Catholic, you are believing in the teachings and following the rules of the Pope, Rome.
Yes.
Not good.
Yes, that's right.
I was Catholic for 29 years, mm-hmm. and then I got saved. And I stopped being Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So any Catholic listeners, if you're saved, if you think you're saved, if you're spirit-filled or think you're spirit-filled, just stop calling yourself Catholic. That's all you got to do. Just
yes.
I'm just a believer, you know? I'm not attached to any denomination. We're just believers, true worshipers.
Yeah.
And so you know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're saved, just change your term. Now, I'll add here that Catholics are the hardest people we have ever encountered to try to talk about deliverance or even Jesus.
Oh, see, there are some generational strongholds that go with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Extreme generational strongholds. I mean that. I mean, yeah, you're right. That's it's like the Masons. It's like generational Masons. It's the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And at one time, I believe everybody on the earth had Catholic relatives because you either became Catholic or they killed you. Back, you know, way back when they did all that stuff.
Yeah.
So everybody has Catholic demons to cast out. That was the first batch that when I went through deliverance, I had tons of them.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. I think this has been a very productive time we've had here, and I think this is going to help people having this interview. What we're going to do is archive both of these hours separately, and they'll be up in our archive section on our website. So feel free to use them. You can download them, put them on your website, whatever you want to do with them. You're welcome to. Our listeners know already, that the archives section is a neat place to go. But they'll be there, and I'm going to keep these here. We normally cycle them through a number of months. Every few months we turn over. I'm going to keep this interview up on as long as the website's there. We're going to keep it there one way or another.
And I'll keep it on mine forever. Our audio files, some of these audio files are 15 years old. But even us, when we listen to them, we get deliverance.
Oh, yes.
So deliverance material never gets old. And you can learn something new every day, just like many of the listeners have learned something new tonight.
Yes. And we'll be looking forward to do another one of these. What do you say?
Any time. I'm available almost any time, day or night.
Okay. I'll be back in touch with you, and we'll set up another time. And I kind of like to... go about a week ahead of time in notice. That way it gives people, a week's notice that they can, plan to be there that night and that kind of thing.
All right. Well, that'd be good. I advertised this on the very top of our main page tonight.
I noticed that.
And I'll do that, the next time. That'll give more people a chance to tune in.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, and thank you, Elizabeth, for staying up with us too. I know it was past your sleep time there, but I sure appreciate it. And we'll do this again. And God bless you both, and extremely. And may God cover us with His covering, and may we all of us learn how to put on the full armor of God, and learn how to do this deliverance ministry.
Do I have a couple of seconds to say a prayer?
You go right ahead, brother.
Father, in Jesus' name, I bind up every demon and every person that's listening here tonight that would tell them that this is crazy, this is junk, this is not Christian.
Yes.
We're nuts. I bind those demons up in Jesus' name, and I just terminate the assignment of those demons, and I ask you, Lord, to just fill these people with the Holy Spirit and get them saved if they're not saved already. And put it on their heart. Give them the knowledge that they need to carry this forth forever till the day they die. In Jesus' name.
Amen, brother. Amen. Okay.
All right.
We'll continue.
All right, Paul.
Goodbye.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.